This is one of those passages of Scripture that just has so much in it. Someone has said this was the ordination service for the disciples. And I remember how moved I felt when I was privileged to be in Israel and we were in the area that was perceived to be where the Sermon on the Mount was presented, and how touched I was. And many times as I reflect on these passages and I think about the different ways that they touch us and give us guidance on how to live our lives. Story was told about a young minister who had moved into town, and the mortician gave him a call and said that there had been a death in the community and there was no family members left for this young man, and that really there was not going to be a funeral as such, and just wondered if the minister would come to the grave and say a few words as the body was being interred there in the gentle earth. The minister said he certainly would be glad to, and so being new in the community, he got a little disoriented when he was arriving to the cemetery, and he got a little lost. He was about 30 minutes late, and he pulled up to what he thought was the burial plot there, and there had a backhoe, and there were some guys sitting around, and they were eating a sandwich, and so he ran up to what he perceived to be the gravesite, and he opened up his Bible, and he read some verses, and he had a prayer, and did a committal, and he shook hands with the guys that were sitting around what he perceived to be the grave, and as he was leaving, the two guys looked at each other and says, "I ain't never seen nothing done like that for a septic tank in my life." You know, sometimes in life we can have good intentions, but we might make some mistakes. One of the things that happens sometimes in the Scriptures is when they are being printed, that at the printer they make some mistakes. And somebody put in one of them one time that got out, said, "Blessed are the pacemakers." Another one said, "Thou shalt commit adultery." We realize that if these mistakes were to have gotten out into the populace, it might have changed the whole concept of what religion is all about, especially Christianity. And so as we read this passage of Scripture and these passages, and we hear them again as they speak to us, and as they call us to a standard of living, a way of responding to those circumstances and situations that face us almost daily. I remember I was sharing with the early at the Out Loud service this morning, when I was with in the military, I had a friend of mine, and we had lunch one day, and he began to talk to me about colors, how to live your life in colors. It was a very interesting conversation, and so as I listened to him, he offered a class there in our military training, what was called TQM, Total Quality Maintenance Management, and so I took his course. He talked about the way that we respond to the issues of life. If you were green, you were envious, jealous, which is what we normally associate with green. Yellow, you know, non-committal, sort of away from the mainstream. Red, angry, out of control. Blue, passive, in control. And so I realized that blue was the way that you wanted to live. Red sometimes was the way that you, maybe me, acted sometime. I had some adolescents at the house at the time, and so during the week, I had a confrontation with some of my children. And the next time I went back to my friend, I said, "Well, Woody," I said, "I flew red the other day. And I was thinking that if you could be honest about how you responded, that that made it okay, that you knew where you were, whether you were being jealous or sort of cowardice in your response or red, that really, as long as you knew, you were all right. I mean, it was where you wanted to be, that you knew in blue, but if you weren't, it was okay." And I said, "Well, I flew red," and I said, "I thought I was justified," and I shared it with him, and I'll never forget when Woody looked at me and he said, "Terry, you should never be red. You should always be blue." Sort of took me back. I thought I was the chaplain. I thought I was the preacher. But all of a sudden, the words were coming back to me. And it touched me in a way that I never forgot, how I should be. As I read these passages of Scripture and I think about where they take us as an individual, blessed are the poor in spirit. There comes a time in our lives when we make that surrender to God. I was talking with someone this past week and we were talking about conversion experiences, and I said to them, "I have had many conversion experiences. There have been many times in my life when in the midst of my communications with God, I would say, 'Lord, if there's any doubt, if there's any question, I want you to know that I surrender to you. Lord, I trust in you and I believe in you and I give you my life. Lord, this is the way I want to live in.' And when I fail to respond as I should, as your child, I ask for your forgiveness and I embrace your love and ask for your strength and I ask for your guidance." And even sometimes riding in an automobile and having those moments of communication with God, and I would say, "Lord, just so you know, I perceive myself to be your son." Poor in spirit. Realizing that we cannot save ourselves. It doesn't matter what our family name is. It doesn't matter how long we've been a member of this church or whatever. There comes a time when we embrace that faith for ourselves. That's what we say at baptisms, when we baptize our children. At such time, he or she makes that commitment of faith for themselves. It's my faith. I embrace it. I acknowledge it. I want to see the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn. Think about those who are grieving. There are times as a minister and as parishioner when we are involved with family members, when we are involved with church members, when we are responsible to those, we know there's nothing that we can do humanly to comfort them. Sometimes we deal with the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it may be the loss of our health. It may be the realities of what life has dealt to us. We realize that for those who have their faith in God, there will come a time when those who mourn are going to be comforted. I can only speak from my own experiences. I remember when I was in Bible college and Professor Taylor, he said, live the Christian life. Preach the results. And I remember when I received the call that my mom had had a heart attack, I was devastated. I was crying and sobbing so hard, I don't even remember who drove me to Columbia. Later on, my mother died. And I was dealing with that loss that we deal with when we lose a loved one. And I was riding up the interstate. And all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed with the reality in my spirit that my mother had entered the portals of glory. And my mourning was turned into joy. And I began to laugh and say, congratulations. Wonderful mom. You made it. Now your faith is no longer faith. It's reality. I can't say that you're going to have that same experience. But from my experience, in the midst of my mourning, it was turned to joy. God did it. Blessed are those who mourn. I remember talking with those of my church family that lived through the Great Depression. I would say to them, how did you do it? I remember talking with those who had been in the midst of battle. Those who had lost loved ones and friends. How did your faith sustain you in the midst of no money and little to no food? How did you endure? One event that I remember, and I don't think I've shared this with you, but one of my military parishioners was telling me about being in Germany, and he was down in a barn and the shells were falling all around him, and he perceived that the artillery person that was shooting at him knew that they were in that barn and they were trying to zero in. And he said one shell would fall short, one shell would fall to the right, one shell would fall to the left. He just knew that the next one was going to be right on him. I can hear his words as they revved through my mind now. And he says, boy, howdy, preacher. Boy, howdy, I want you to know it works. I said, what works? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Preacher, I thought I was getting ready to cross right over, and I was as calm as I am right now. I can't tell you how these passages of Scripture are going to touch you. I can tell you what the Scriptures says. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Who are those in this world that you know that are peacemakers? We could really use peacemaker today. Our world needs a great big Nelson Mandela from somewhere. We need someone somewhere that can step up. Are you a peacemaker? Are you one of those that pushes for peace? For it says, they will be called children of God. Who are the peacemakers that we have known? I mentioned to you, my buddy, in closing, as he mentioned the colors. And I ask you today, what is your color? What is your response to the gospel? How do these passages of Scripture touch you? And where is it that we need an attitude change? I want to close with this prayer. It's printed by, it was given to me this morning by Mallory. As we pray today, you're invited to pray for those you know who are in special needs and need to be lifted up this morning. Hear now these prayers. Giving God, we do rejoice, and we are glad for the great reward in heaven for those who do your work and your will. We pray now for those we know by name who are poor in spirit. We give thanks, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We pray now for those we know who are mourning. We pray your comfort upon them. We pray for those we know who find themselves hungering and thirsting for your righteousness. May they be filled. We pray for those who are agents of your mercy, showing it to all they meet. May they too receive mercy. We pray for those we know to be of pure heart. May they see your face. We pray for those we know who are not just peaceful, but who set out to be makers of peace. May they be known as the children of God. We pray for those we know who suffer with Christ for your name's sake. May their reward be your kingdom. We pray your blessings upon us all, and pray for your strength and courage to be who you would have us to be. Help us, Almighty God. Amen.